So good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. We are here live for Turning Towards Life. It's Sunday, the 8th of July, just after 9 a.m. in London. And we are very, very glad to be here after a short technical delay, which I think has mostly been caused by me trying to do this call from in the middle of London, Hyde Park. It's an extraordinary and beautiful summer's day here in London, and I am sitting in the park this morning because after we've finished speaking, I'm heading off to a workshop run by Mark Nepo, whose piece we're bringing into our conversation this morning. So I'm very excited to get to meet him for the first time after following his work for a long time, and really looking forward to reading and talking about this piece through the wall of glass. Morning, Lizzie.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. I am in my sister-in-law's house in Kent after driving back from our sailing trip yesterday, for all the way from Cornwall. So if you were watching last week, I was in kind of a, I think it was a very puffy red sailing jacket and trying to talk to you from the steps of the back of Carbon Falmouth Marina. And this week, we're back, but I'm officially tired. I had a wonderful, wonderful week on the boat, but I, for the first time in a long time, feel like a kind of depth of tiredness that is quite extraordinary. So I'm really happy and really tired. Like, we've had a very, very wonderful, hugely developmental week for me. And we were sailing with blind people. So the kind of learning involved in being able to be not unhelpful, basically, is what I would say, because it's so tricky to know what to do when you haven't spent a lot of time with blind people before. So I've learned a hell of a lot, and it's also been really exhausting because the sleeping was quite limited, and even if we did sleep, it was in a very cramped little boat. So I'm very happy to be here and to be delving into this with all of us. In this inquiry, and also Justin, very happy to see you as well after a week of being very away and out of touch. So yeah, and I'm really grateful to be reading Mark Nepo. I love Mark Nepo. So, and also it's very really wonderful, Justin, that we do this and then you enter into the world of Mark Nepo properly in workshop. Lovely.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad to be doing that, and that's, you know, of course, why I've, it's my turn to choose a source file this week, why I've chosen his work. And well, I'm going to read this piece. So this is from Mark's book, The Book of Awakening, which I want to really make a really strong recommendation for. One of the beautiful things about this book is that he's written 365 very beautiful, often challenging, enormously wise and kind pieces. And it's the kind of book which I found you can open on the, usually when I open it on the page four labeled with the current date, it has something I've been waiting for. But that's equally true, I think, of just opening it at random. And there have been times, Lizzie, I know when I felt deeply in trouble, that his work has been a big reminder for me of what's true and not to turn away. So here's this piece, which is, well, I'll read it and read it now we can talk. So this is called Through the Wall of Flame, and it's by Mark Nepo from the Book of Awakening. As a frightened man in a burning boat has only one way to the rest of his life, we must move with courage through the wall of flame into the greater sea. Living long enough, we each find ourselves surrounded by an old way of being, thinking or loving that's going up in flames. In that unexpected moment, we usually find ourselves full of fear, feeling trapped by an old way of life coming in on us. But this is the passage of rebirth that we must move through if our lives are to unfold. It is the momentary and painful crossing from what is old into what is new. It is understandable to stall at the wall of flame, not wanting to face all that is burning around us, yet old ways can burn forever. and waiting for the flames to go out seldom works. We can waste years in the waiting. Like the frightened man in the burning boat, we must trust that the greater sea we are jumping into will douse whatever catches fire as we move through. This is what faith is all about. Without trying to be brave, and with great fear, I have stumbled and jumped through many walls of flame. The first time, I think, was in leaving home, needing to go, burning at the edge, afraid I wouldn't survive beyond the flame of anger in which I was raised. Not much later, I had to move through the flames of first love rejection. Here, the broken part of me was almost willing to be burned alive. I felt certain that there was nowhere to go and nothing that could soothe me. I fell more through this wall than jumped, and of course, once in the sea of life beyond myself, the world continued and I healed. Perhaps the greatest wall of flame I had to jump through was the pain of cancer and the prospect of dying. It seemed the entire sea was on fire. Even once overboard, drifting farther and farther from the flames, I thought I might drown. How could I know that greater sea was the womb of a deeper life? I'm sure this is the same for anyone struggling to break out of any form of addiction, illness, or abusive relationship.
Through the Wall of Flame by Mark Nepo from the Book of Awakening. As a frightened man in a burning boat has only one way to the rest of his life. We must move with courage through the Wall of Flame into the greater sea. Living long enough, we find ourselves surrounded by an old way of being, thinking or loving that is going up in flames. In that unexpected moment, we usually find ourselves full of fear, feeling trapped by an old way of life coming in on us. But this is the passage of rebirth that we must move through if our lives are to unfold. It is the momentary and painful crossing from what is old into what is new. It is understandable to stall at the wall of flame, to not wanting to face all that is burning around us. Yet old ways can burn forever, and waiting for the flames to go out seldom works. We can waste years in the waiting. Like the frightened man in the burning boat, we must trust that the greater sea we are jumping into will douse whatever catches fire as we move through. This is what faith is all about. Without trying to be brave and with great fear, I have stumbled and jumped through many walls of flame. The first time, I think, was in leaving home, needing to go, burning at the edge, afraid I wouldn't survive beyond the flame of anger in which I was raised. Not much later, I had to move through the flames of first love rejection. Here, the broken part of me was almost willing to be burned alive. I felt certain there was nowhere to go and nothing that could soothe me. I more fell through this wall than jumped. And of course, once in the sea of life beyond myself, the world continued and I healed. Perhaps the greatest wall of flame I had to jump through was the pain of cancer and the prospect of dying. It seemed the entire sea was on fire. Even once overboard, drifting farther and farther from the flames, I thought I might drown. How could I know that the greater sea was the womb of a deeper life? I'm sure this is the same for anyone struggling to break out of any form of addiction, illness, or abusive relationship.
Something I think to read this and to at least for me to remember, be reminded that the nature of our lives is that we're always inside, on the inside of some understanding of what our lives is that seems coherent and compelling, even when it's fear filled or addiction fill or pain fill. And it's so difficult for us to see what might be beyond it. A larger way to live, a different way of making sense of what we've been in the middle of. And that it's... right now I'm really appreciating this point of view that a really big part of this is fear, is that letting go of it strikes me that he's talking about is letting go of the way that we make sense of the lives that we're in. It's very often a terrifying thing to do because we can't imagine from the inside of the way that we're making sense now that there'll be any other way. And that clearly what he's said to me, that what he's bringing in here is it's not that for any of us that there's some promise that life will turn out. You know, the simplistic way to read this would be jump through the wall of flames and everything will turn out, then you'll be safe. It's not that. But often we have to pass through the wall of flames to find a way of being in relationship with our own lives that isn't as full of the suffering as we've been in or of the misunderstanding that we've been in. And that there's some new way of telling the truth that we have to discover in order to do that.
Yeah, I feel like the thing that really moves me is that he's really talking about faith as well. You know, we've often mentioned the part that's beyond what we can see, and which is waiting for us, and yet without faith there's no way we can be in relationship to the beyond. And I'm really also taken by this image of a man in a burning boat, where you really do have one option, which is to jump out of the boat through the flames, trusting that the ocean will douse whatever flames caught you on the way through, whatever burns you sustained, maybe. And it feels like somehow in this moment it's kind of planted a seed in my mind of like, so I'm such a visual person, I think, and metaphorical language really opens something for me. And I'm envisaging now taking each of the things that feels like one of these massive thresholds, one of these points of growth and development that often feels really painful, which can come in the form of a really difficult circumstance or a wounding or something shameful, where if there was a way of relating to those times in life of being the man in the burning boat, that there was a glimpse, a metaphorical glimpse of that there is something beyond this, and how might I make the leap to the beyond. I'm really feeling grateful to Mark for having the poetry and the awareness and the life experience to have planted this seed of this image of the burning boat and the flames. Because the thresholds really do feel like that. Transitions really feel like that. Change feels like that. And to have faith in what's beyond, and have faith because you know that people have trodden the way before you and there will be people who tread way after me, and that we can give this gift of faith to one another just by saying, just in the saying of it. And it does feel like it has a kind of earthy quality to it as well. It's like it's of the ocean. Boats have just actually, yeah, so I've just been on a boat, so maybe that's also why it's so appealing, because I can feel the restriction of a boat and the freedom of a boat simultaneously, and also the frighteningness of the ocean. You know, the ocean's not always a welcoming place, and yet it's teeming with life and nature and expansion. So I feel like that's kind of right now it's really gripping me, this way that I could see my life when it's hurting, when it's difficult, as me in a burning boat. And the other part of the burning boat is that, as he said, you don't have an option but to jump. And there are times when it's just, it can't stay this way. Something's got to give. And it feels like we're pressed up against something. And so to be invited into this notion of faith in that way feels really, really, really important.
Love the way you're talking about this, Lizzie. To draw attention to this narrative metaphor he's bringing in. Because like, one of the things that I'm getting to see about it is the ecosystem, is that we can stay in the burning boat for a really long time. Like, on the one hand, in the end, all there is to do is to jump through the flames, but there's a way in which we can stay in. And thinking about my own experience, many of the times that I've been in a situation like this, what the wall of flames has been for me, and I think it will be different for each person, of course, has been telling the truth about myself.
Mm.
I'm in trouble. I need help. I'm not okay. And it's to do with my own personality structure built over many, many, many years that doing that has often seemed the most frightening thing I could do. And as you're talking about it, what I'm seeing is that what's so beautiful and powerful about this metaphor is that to be in the boat surrounded by burning flames is intolerable. But the thing that we both know and can't bring ourselves to do, often for a long time, is to do the one thing that at the same time seems the most risky, and at the other side, on the other side, we know it might be the only thing that will save us. So telling the truth of myself, about myself to other people, which has so often felt to me like I'll get abandoned, I won't be loved anymore. If I really reveal who I really am, how broken I can be, how in trouble I can be, if I tell anybody, I'll get burned up by the flames or drown. So I have to stay in the burning boat. And I could stay for years and years and years and years, terrified and burning. And at the same time, I realize I know that it's the telling the truth on myself that is the only path. Like you said, there is actually only one way out of the burning boat. You have to jump through the flame. So this tension that we find ourselves in where the thing that we are most sure will destroy us is also the thing where we know is the only thing that we could save, that could save us, keeps us, that's what keeps us held. And I'm with Mark on this. Every time I've jumped through what I thought would destroy me, I found myself in a wider sea, not necessarily a calm sea, not necessarily a sea that I was, a warm sea, but I found myself in a way, way wider space, and it's really illuminating to see what a role our certainty, well, at least me, my certainty about what will happen and my terror about all the imagined things that will happen, what role that has keeping me in again and again in a place of great suffering that in the end I'm the only one who can work with.
Yeah, I was just reflecting as you were saying on what those flames have been for me, and in a way, there's a kind of, I think there's, for me, there's like an order of flames, as in some flames are a bit less scary than other flames, and then other flames feel like they're right up to the ceiling, and then the wall is thick, and, I feel really, really very afraid. But the ones that I think have been really scary for me have been around relationship. And, when you take a risk in relationship and you tell the truth, which might mean this isn't working anymore, or I have to say this, otherwise I feel like I haven't got integrity anymore inside of something. And risking relationship has been really, really hard. And having faith that, for example, I could end the form of a relationship with somebody and it wasn't going to destroy me and the person. Because I think separating from people has been one of the most painful experiences of my life, and feeling I'm relating this to feelings as well, because I think whenever I've gone through any flames and found faith on the other side, it hasn't been like, oh, I just jumped and everything's fine. It's like the amount of tears I've cried and the amount of physical pain I felt and the amount of being kind of ripped feeling ripped apart and emotional pain translating into physical pain and feeling like it's unbearable, and I'd rather, really, really, really rather this not happen. And having the faith that I can feel, and at the end of my feelings, when they have decided that enough has been felt, there is something else other than those feelings. And I think that's been, and still my faith is tested, like when something really difficult happens and I'm really crying, really weeping and in pain, there's still a doubt, you know, there's still a doubt that it will process, that it will turn into something other than the current moment of difficulty. And in a way, most of us haven't really been taught about feeling, what it means to have a feeling, and what a feeling, the nature of a feeling is, and the structure of a feeling might be, so that we can feel things and know that it will pass. And I think that's still, for me, like, no matter how many times I learn it, my faith is always tested in, can I feel this and still not die? Like, that's how important my relationships to my feeling is, because it's like, I really, time it comes and I'm really in the thick of it, I really do think, oh dear, this isn't going away and it's going to kill me. Like, that's how I experience it. And so it's taking a lot of time to keep allowing and keep allowing and being in relationship around my feelings and being with people who can handle me and be with my feelings as well, so that I don't think that they are wholly reality. I think they have a deep intelligence, and I also believe them very strongly in myself and other people, to define something deeper than that, and to hold that while the feeling processes, feels like how I can even entertain jumping through the flames into the ocean.
This point you're making about feelings may be the most important point of all, I think. So this seems to me, the many people I'm getting to work with in the coaching that I do, and when you and I get to teach coaching, and also just in my own experience, just like you say, most often what keeps me inside the wall of flame is there's something I don't want to experience. There's a feeling I don't want to have. And I notice, as you're talking about it, that there are certain things I'm willing to put up with. So I'm willing to put up with terror for years so that I won't feel shame, for example. Mm. Or like you're saying, so I won't have to face the fear that the feeling that of abandonment, which for me is probably shame as well. And it seems extraordinary to me, and I think maybe this is the heart of it, extraordinary to me that we would rather, I think, but let me just speak about me, there have been times, and there still are times, when I would rather die in the burning boat, even though that's not what I want, than feel something.
Yeah.
And feel what it's like to tell the truth.
Mm.
Or to feel what it's like to be ashamed. And I'll sit in the burning boat till it sinks. And yeah. that the act of, like my example of saying, I was thinking whilst you were talking, that my example is of saying I need help, that the feel of what that comes with I need help is really like jumping through the flames. But it's also like, Mark Nepo talks about this in something else that he wrote. He talks about having a medical treatment that was going to be very painful, that was going to last for 40 or 50 seconds, and spending his whole time being frightened of it and thinking, you know, and constructing his life around the avoidance of it. And then when he finally had it, yes, it was excruciatingly painful, and then it was done, and something else emerged on the other side. And I found that really helpful, because that's been, you know, that I recognize that pattern. The holding away can keep us in very, very profound difficulty and even in danger. And it seems to me that this is part of the, well, it's really clear to me that this is part of the intent of us doing this project together, Lizzie, is bringing this into view, is how much of our lives turn out this way.
Mm.
because of what we won't feel.
Yeah.
And that I'm hoping that in us naming it this way, we're also helping ourselves and maybe other people as well in this work of trying to figure out, you know, when you said there are like different circles of fire for you, what is it that I'm trying to avoid having happen here? What is it that I'm trying to avoid feeling? Because lots of times in my life, I don't even know that that's what I'm doing. Oh, I'm just in a burning boat and I can't jump through the flames. Oh, I don't want to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
And you're right, we don't get taught this.
Mm.
And we think that feeling for some kind of trivial thing or some irrelevant thing, when it turns out that so much of our lives are being shaped by what we're not willing to experience.
Yeah. I'm really taken by this
one other thought.
Sorry, I just
you go.
The whole what am I living my life trying to not feel? Like, that feels to me such a profound question to watch and observe and see if I can see what is it that I feel so frightened of feeling that I am having this continue. That's such a great question. I'm just really grateful for the clarity of that you just said.
I just went to see last night a really beautiful play, which is a version of a book called A Monster Calls.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if you've ever seen this book. But
gosh.
There's a stage production of it in London at the moment.
What's it called?
And I want to name it A Monster Calls.
Is the play called A Monster Calls?
Yeah, the play is A Monster Calls. It's a play of the book. Wonderful.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
Wonderful, really beautiful. And I want him to name it here. I mean, I know you know it, but because it's the story of a boy. What it has right at the heart of it is exactly what we're talking about, is the times when we would rather live in a way that will eat us up than to feel something that's true. And the so if you haven't read the book or seen this beautiful film of it, and there's this amazing stage production in London, if you're in London, for anyone who's watching. And what it reminded me of also, Lizzie, is that most often when we find the moment to say what's true, I'm afraid to say that I didn't want this, or I wanted this, or I'm afraid to be ashamed, or I'm afraid to be afraid. Very often we find that there are other people on the other side of the flame who can help us. But the part of this structure of being the boat in the flames is how alone we get to feel. There are people who face this. There may be people around us in our lives who would welcome us even when we imagine there'll be no one to welcome us. Or we'll find a part of ourselves that we haven't been in contact yet that can live in the ocean that we didn't know could live in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, we're so sure that there's nothing on the other side. And I suppose that's what you're talking about when you talk about the importance of faith here, is that strikingly, Lizzie, that faith is trusting that we don't have to know everything, because it's having to know everything that also conspires to keep us right where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. This feels like an amazing entry into a Sunday for me. Just seeing this and feeling into what this is for all of us to hold as an intention in terms of how we might see ourselves, observe ourselves, feel, sense into what we're avoiding, what we're not wanting to feel, not wanting to experience, and then seeing the impact of that in our lives.
Thank you so much for being in this conversation, as always. I'm really glad that we get to do this, even if we're sitting in the middle of the park or a garden or on a boat, that people come and join us and watch and listen. So I'm with you. What an orientation this is to start to wonder, just like you're saying, what is it that I'm trying so hard to avoid? So I'll be in that question as well today.
Amazing. We'll have an amazing workshop with Mark Nepo, Justin.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll be back next Sunday, possibly at a slightly adjusted time, because you and I, Lizzie, will be teaching on our professional coaching course next Sunday, so we may have to come up with some grand plan to be a bit earlier or a bit later or something, so we'll announce that to everyone. And we're glad you're all in.
Thanks for watching, everybody. All the best. Bye.